Glenn. And now, the main speaker tonight is Amber. Give her a warm welcome.
Okay, hi, my name's Amber, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Amber.
Wow, this is an odd room. So I have a sobriety date, as Selena talks about, and it's August 22nd. No, it's not, it's the 21st. But it used to be the 22nd. And I'm coming up on 3 years, and I'm grateful for that. Excuse me, I'm kind of tired. I'm not running on much sleep the last few nights, so I'm kind of everywhere scatterbrained. Anyway, thank you for coming out and joining us in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. So this program, and we talk about it in our readings, it's attraction rather than promotion, and the promotion for me was my father, who came into this program, like Glenn was saying, with her, what was it, 05? 03. 03? Oh, damn. 2003. And I hated him with all my heart. Could care less if he was dead. Even tried to kill him myself. And because he's that classic Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And so when he came, went to ASA and then came out and his life started to change and I saw that there was really a difference, you know, it took some time, it became an attraction to me because I saw it firsthand. And I remember being in the shower, freaking out, screaming, and my dad coming in and I'm telling him, I need help. Take me to the nut house. You know, I'm going crazy. And I didn't think at the time that it was drugs or alcohol or any other issues except that I was going freaking crazy. So we drove down to Cottage and they opened up my purse and I had, I don't know, 15 empty bottles of pills. And they go, so they admitted me for a drug problem. I said, I don't have a drug problem. Well, why do you have all these pill bottles? I said, they're empty. I'm a hoarder. I keep them. So that's kind of where it began, you know. And I was drinking on top of it a lot. So, but then I finally called my dad in another place, and I was at my psychiatrist's office in Santa Barbara, and said, "Call Gussie. I need help." And come get me because I couldn't drive. So he did, and I went into ASA. And I remember Gussie and her little sayings, and I'm thinking this lady's fucking cracked up, you know. She'd be like, don't shut off the sunlight of the spirit and all this stuff. And those are things that I didn't know. I had no idea what they were, what they meant. Today I do. You know, and I'm grateful for that. You know, I have a God today. I didn't when I got here. I have self-respect, you know, which I didn't have when I got here. I have a different perception, basically, on absolutely everything in my life than I did before. And most of it is positive. I've always been a pessimistic, and I really try hard not to be. That doesn't always work. So, I don't know. Anyway, and then I had, my first sponsor was Terry C., and I remember her asking me the question, or asked me to write down, what is God to me? I couldn't answer it. I couldn't write it. I had no idea. I had to ask other people what it meant. So I'm writing other people's stuff. But for me, it wasn't that. So, okay, let me go backwards. I'm going to be 38. Born 1977 to my dad and my mother. My mother was an alcoholic and a heroin addict. I don't know that she was at the time, but she became, and she was murdered when I was 2 years old, and I'm pretty sure that set off my dad's addiction, so, you know, monkey see, monkey do. And I remember at that point, We lived in North Hollywood, and he was on cocaine really bad, and there was always people partying at the house and whatever, and I remember my first line of cocaine, I was 7 years old, and I won't forget it, and I remember my first real drunk, which was also, I think I was 8, and throwing up all over myself, so it was kind of horrible, but, and then my dad, I went and lived with my grandparents at the age of 5, and my dad went on, and his addiction became worse and worse and worse, and I just saw it, and finally, once I was a teenager, I went and lived with him, and then it was on from there, him and I partying constantly, and I can't imagine doing that with my son, no offense, Dad, but, that's only because what I know now. If I would have never come to this program and gotten help, I probably would have partied with my son. So, I don't know. You know, I've been using all of everything since I was 7 years old, you know, with little breaks in between. I grew up in Los Angeles, and I moved around a lot. I went to boarding school when I was 12 years old in New Mexico. And while I was there, my grandparents, who I moved in with at 5, moved to Sun Valley, Idaho. And it's a small ski resort, and it's there's nothing to do but like ski, river raft, do this hiking, those things, and drinking and drugging. So that's, you know, that was good for me. I liked it. And do a lot of acid out in the mountains. I really liked that. I really did. So, I don't know, I got pregnant at 20, 19, had my son, my oldest, who's 17, right before my 21st birthday, and I no longer used other substances, but every blue moon, I became a full-blown alcoholic, and drank daily, and I don't know, you know, life wasn't easy after that. I went back, my dad was in L.A., and I moved back down there at 15 with him, and then got in with the wrong people once again, and then Daryl likes it when I talk about how I used to shove meat in my clothes to go sell them to a dealer. You know, I mean, the things we do is pretty crazy. I don't know. I reflect on those things occasionally, and it really sickens me that I did those things and the things that I did do, you know, I hung out with a lot of gang members when I was younger, when I lived in L.A., and, you know, hijacking cars from people and having them get hurt and those things, and I can't ever go back and make amends. I can make living amends in other ways, but I don't even know how to find people that I've harmed. And, I don't know, it's been a rough road, not only out there, but actually more probably in sobriety, because now I really have to take a freaking look at everything and I can't get loaded over it. So, but in the long run, it's been more rewarding. Sorry. Anyway, I don't know. I've been very blessed. I come from a good family. I don't come from a bad family. My father and one of my brothers and I are probably the black sheep of the family. And, and his brother, my uncle, who I watched die from this disease. It was heartbreaking. I never knew exactly how bad cirrhosis of the liver could really be, to where they were pulling out quarts of water out of his body a day. He was swollen, and I mean swollen everywhere. Elephantitis of everything. And it was sad. And, okay, I'm just going to talk about my sobriety. So I came in August of 07. That was my first date. And I came in beat up, thinking that I was completely willing to change. Well, I had the intention to. Like, I wanted to. I never not wanted to. And I came here and I tried to understand what everyone was saying. But I think because I had been partying for so long that I couldn't really grasp things yet, like what the meanings of things were. And then finally I had a sponsor a few years later, Peggy Miller, who had told me about the Big Book Dictionary. So if you don't know words in there, I mean, you can Google it, but you can also look. They have a little dictionary for it. And that helped me a lot to understand things, because my perception of what those words were completely different from what they really were. And I'm a good liar. So when I'm lying to you and I'm lying to myself, I eventually start believing those damn lies. And that's how powerful and sick the mind is. And I can still do that today. You know, so I've learned from my sponsor, Lynn, that I have to be completely rigorously honest with absolutely everything that I do and be held accountable. So whatever I'm doing, I tell somebody. That way I'm not bullshitting them or myself, you know, like I can't weasel my way through the cracks like I always do. Like, and I was sitting there reading these signs. They never made sense to me. They do now. Be a dream instead of a nightmare. That sounds pretty good. I've never understood that. Not sure why. It's pretty basic, but I don't know. I just know that I had 4.5 years. Well, at 4 years, I met my husband here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Let me start with that. We didn't even like each other. And then we went on a spiritual retreat, and we kind of never left each other's side. So, but I'm grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous. I would have never met him if not. And anyway, we were trying to have a baby, and I miscarried twice. And back to back, 4 years after we got together, and I didn't know how to handle it. I had handled going through two deaths, my grandmother, she was my mother and my uncle, but nothing like this. And I didn't know what to do, and I started backsliding and undoing the steps and not really realizing that I was. And going to the doctors because they, you know, giving me my antidepressants or whatever, and them knowing what's going on, and all of a sudden I have one more pill added to the collage, and then another one, and I was trying to trust these doctors. And they would change me literally every month. So all of a sudden, I'm taking like 15 pills. And today, now I see. But then I didn't know. I had no idea that I was sitting in the room of Alcoholics Anonymous, loaded, nodding out. I had no idea until JC told me when I got sober again that he was watching me die, that I'd wake up gasping for air daily. And that when we would go into Walmart, I'd say, oh, I'm going to have anxiety, I got to have a pill. And then we'd just go next door to PetSmart, and I'm going to have anxiety in here, I'll take another one. So I was popping them like Pez. And I didn't know. I was so out of it that I had no idea that I was killing myself so slowly. And Liz watched me go through it. You know, she lived with me, her and Randy, and I just didn't hear. I didn't hear anything anybody said, because I didn't think I was sick. You know, so my trust in mankind, of doctors, isn't the greatest anymore. But I trust in a God today, and that's because of Alcoholics Anonymous teaching that, and the people in Alcoholics Anonymous, And I just didn't know. You know, I did everything I thought I was supposed to after those miscarriages. My dad and JC got me in the car, took me immediately to a meeting on the way up. We called George L., and he told me, call me every day for 30 days. and get your ass to a meeting and keep going to them and don't stop. And the next morning, I picked up 2 bottles of wine, asked JC to take me to my friend's house, and I said, I'm only going to have a glass, because I told him, what happened was I told him, I'm either going to die, I'm going to kill myself, or I'm going to drink. And that's really how I felt. And I guess he tells me it was about maybe an hour and a half later, he'd just gotten home, that I called him, I ended up at Louis B's, 2 bottles of wine later and about 9 shots of tequila, totally plastered, to come get me. And I didn't remember that. So that was my beginning to my relapse, and then a week on some other substances, and then another week on another substance, and then finally just back to my doctor's meds that probably kept me more messed up than any of the other stuff. And then my husband told me that he thought I needed to go to detox, and I kind of bucked that for a minute, and the next morning said okay. So my dad and him and my grandfather got me into a place called Tarzana Detox, and I went there, and then from there I went to Casa Solana up in Grover Beach, and had to learn how to live with a bunch of women. And that was difficult, but I did it, and I ended up loving those women. And the sad thing is, there's only 2 of us that are sober and clean today out of all the women. And I've never gotten to thank you, Liz, but I've been wanting to, and thinking about it, because I've been reflecting. Thank you for being there, because you called me. You were the only person besides my sponsor and my family that called when I was there. And it made me feel good, you know. So, just reaching out, that's Alcoholics Anonymous working in somebody's life, giving a shit about somebody else, you know. And that's amazing, because I probably wouldn't have done that at the time. And I don't know. So I called Lynn and said, Lynn, I gotta do my steps in NA. And you know, I've done them in AA, and I was like, all right, well, whatever, you know, it's not gonna kill me to learn more. So she came up and we did them, and it was weird, but you know, once again, I'm sober again, and my perception on things changed. Like, I needed that relapse. I needed to know what it felt like and how bad it hurt. I mean, I almost lost my family. I probably should have died. If I would have gone any longer, I probably would have, you know. And it was like me against the world. I don't know if you've ever felt that, but it felt so horrible, like everybody was shunning me or looking down at me. You know, like I didn't get that open arms of Alcoholics Anonymous like I did the first time. And that's how it felt. You know, my perception was so off. And but that's not the truth. The truth is other people were watching this happen for a year. And I was the one oblivious, which is so odd because I'm the one that's messed up, right? I should know. And I don't know. I know, but I am going to say one thing, and only a couple people know this, and I'm not going to put names out there. When you go and try to help somebody, whether it be alcohol, drug-related, things that can harm you to put you in a bad spot, don't ever go alone. When you have good intention to helping somebody, no thought, you've had a great day, you never thought about getting loaded, but here you go to help somebody all by yourself, and next thing you know, you walk out of that house loaded. And that happened. That's actually the truth to what really happened on all that. And then it was so bad that I completely blacked out, woke up in this house, and had no idea anything about it. And I've never blacked out like that. So that was a scary moment for me. And I don't ever want to feel it again, the incomprehensible demoralization that we feel when we get loaded. Or we, you know, we drink, you know, we drink and drive, we do all kinds of things, and I don't want to do that again. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to hurt my family. I just want to be a product of right living. I want to be a godlier person for me, you know. And I'm really grateful for this program, you guys. You know, and Lynn, thank you for being such an awesome sponsor and being there for me, because I've been having a rough time lately. I don't make it to many meetings, and I would be a liar if I sat here and said that I don't think about drinking, because I do. I've thought about it. And it's hard because JC's gone a lot, and I just don't get too many meetings, and I just don't get time to myself, really. So it's not easy. And now we have another baby coming, so you may not see me for a couple of years. But I do the best I can. I talk to somebody every day. You know, and I think I did the right thing. I mean, I waited a while, and then I took my ass to a meeting and spilled my guts on it. And I'm just so fearful today of picking up that drink, where before I wasn't fearful of it. And today I am. Even when I want to drink, I don't want to drink. I just don't want to feel. I need an escape. That's what alcohol and other substances does. I don't really want to feel the high of anything. I just don't want to feel what I'm feeling right then. And I think that goes for most people. But either way, that's how it goes for me. And I'm scared. I'm scared right now because it's a lot on my plate. And sometimes I just want to give up. So. But I'm not going to. And I don't know. I finally admitted to myself that I'm an alcoholic, and I cannot manage my life drunk or sober. So what do? I have to talk to people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm grateful to have sponsees today. Before, I had my relapse, I wouldn't take on anybody because I wasn't doing the program. You know, if I would have been doing the program and following and living these steps in my life to the best of my ability on a day-to-day basis, I wouldn't have a problem trying to sponsor somebody else. You know, and my sponsees helped me a lot. Like, I get it when you say that now. You know, it's not just me helping them, they help me. We lean on one another when we need it. And I don't know why we don't have that sign up here, the I am responsible, or do we? That's my favorite sign, and it's at the other, at the 1600 Club. No, it's not it. It's the whole thing. But anyway, it goes like I want, if someone needs help, basically, I want the hands of AA to always be there. And as much as I am for somebody else, they are for me. And I don't have to like you. You know, I could really just completely hate your guts. But if you need help and you have problems with alcoholism, that doesn't matter anymore. It has no bearing on my inside feelings about somebody, because my job is to give this away so freely that, like, it was given to me. And that's the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous for me. Me being able to bite my tongue and sit down with somebody that I don't care for and help them. And the weird thing usually is it's by maybe the end of the day, but it takes a little longer usually, I end up liking the person. And I don't know. I know that I'm truly blessed. I have I have a few good friends. I have a lot of fair weather friends and a lot of acquaintances, but I have a few really good, genuine friends, and they're always there for me. And I have a family today. I have a son. Well, I have Stefan too, but, you know, I have him and then another one coming, and we didn't think we were going to be able to have a baby, you know? I trusted in God, and I got off of the medications completely, and I've been off of them for almost 3 years, and and because I did that and I trusted God, I believe that is why I was able to keep this baby. That's my faith. That's what I believe. Because I'm becoming that product of right living. And I'm not perfect. I'm not always the nicest. I'm not. And I'm very vocal. Very. But I'm trying. I'm trying. I don't know. I'm so wishy-washy tonight. But I know. Oh God, it's still a good time. What? I'm not talking about that. That's not even funny. I don't know. So if you're new, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Your life is fucked up for the rest of your life if you're going to go try to drink. So. And it is. When I went out, I sure as hell was thinking about all of you guys. Like, I couldn't even enjoy it. So, I don't know. You know, I don't want to get loaded. I don't want to drink today, period. I'm tired of living in freaking chaos. Not that chaos. Different chaos. And I'm grateful for this program, and I'm trying so hard to live by these principles daily. It is so hard when you're have nothing to numb it. And then I had gastric bypass surgery years ago, you guys, so I can't even numb it with food. Like, that's not fair. So, I mean, I'd rather be, like, large and in charge and fat and happy than, you know. I just, it's crazy. It's crazy to me that every time I open up this book, whatever I read a month ago totally says something different to me today. That is a magic book. Or I'm growing. That might be it. I think I'm growing because I'm willing to balance stuff out. I'm willing to change, and I want to continue to change forever. I don't want to stay stagnant, not just in my program, but in my life, period. How boring. I want to be the best that I can, you know, and a better person. And everybody in this room makes me want to be a better person. My head just went somewhere else with that. But, you know, like, that's good. That's progress, right? I don't know. I just know that I don't know. And I don't know what the hell to say. Because I'm exhausted. I was in the hospital the other day. And with Wyatt, it was really high-risk pregnancy. And at 21 weeks, I started having contractions and I had to go in every week, sometimes twice, to get shots to stop my contractions. And then about the last month, almost every day. And I went in just to get some blood work done and tell them I had some pain. And they took me upstairs and I started having contractions again. So that's why I'm tired and I haven't been able to sleep because now I'm all worried about that. And I'm just worried about it. I don't want to go through it again. It's exhausting, you know. But what you've taught me is to trust in the process, no matter what it is, that there is a reason for everything, and God's got it, and I don't. and to keep the faith no matter what, and not to pick up a drink no matter what happens. And that's all I've been hanging on to. You know, I don't have any right to drink and get drunk. I lost that right when I crossed that invisible line, and my 17-year-old is a direct result right now of me crossing lines and barriers, and him seeing that, because he ended up going through, starting to go down the same path that I went, and it's been breaking my heart to watch it, and he's doing really good now thus far, but he's also in a place where he can't really do anything bad. So but it's good to have my son back and to see the light bulb, like just the same as in here, come on, go on in his eyes, and it's like I have him back again, hopefully forever. But even if not, I'm going to hold on to that moment, because my son is back, and he's back to normal, and his clarity is there, and I can see it, where before I couldn't see through the trees on anything going on in my life. And today, just the little things I can see, and they make me cry most of the time. You know, JC and I were driving yesterday, and he on his phone, he can never pick the damn thing off to plug it in. So he's always asking me to get it for him. And for some reason, I thought about it, and I was just like, wow, when, you know, either through divorce or death or whatever, when people split, and you always hear people say that, you know, it's the little things. And it dawned on me that something so small as to that, if anything were to happen, those are the little things that we take for granted. Just those little things. And I want to be able to see those little things and not take them for granted, because I never know what's going to happen tomorrow or even an hour from now. And so now I'm all fearful on that shit. So, you know, like, I'm full of fear all the time. You know, I can manifest crap all the time. That's what I do. And I somehow, then it messes me up, but I'm not in the moment anymore. I lose that moment. And I'm wasting time on another moment that I could be having a great moment with somebody, you know, or something, or doing something, whatever. And I haven't mastered that yet. To just be in the now and be okay and not project. I'm really bad at projecting. And those are things I'm working on right now. And so I guess my point to all of that is that that's that growing thing, that staying willing to learn and recognizing that I have all these weird little quirks that are obnoxiously annoying, and I want to fix them. I don't want them there anymore. You know, I want to be able to enjoy it, because I'm missing all this time fucking worrying about shit. I'm tired of that. And I have a good life. I have a great husband, a great family, on both sides of, you know, his family and mine. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss that. And to think that I could have, I could have missed all that. I love you too. I don't know. I just thank everybody for always being here for me. You know, there's no better place to be than a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, period, for me, period. And I don't have to be in meetings to get this program. What I have to do is live by this behind me, stay in conscious contact with my God on a daily basis, several times throughout the day and make sure my side of the street is clean and take it one day at a time, sometimes a second at a time. You know, they say meeting makers make it. Bullshit. If you're not doing the action behind it, you ain't making it. If you take the action, yes. And that's only from my experience. So, you know, they didn't have a lot of meetings back in the day. So if I can make it to one, that's why it's so important when I come to a meeting that I need to really tune in and listen because I don't get to many. So I can take that, they call it a gold nugget, take that little gold nugget with me so it can keep me going till the next meeting that I'm able to get to. And me getting into the book, you know, that's important for me because if I don't, then I'm detaching again from Alcoholics Anonymous and not even noticing it. Because it's cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it just slips right in like a slithering little wet snake, and boom, that's it, and you don't even know it. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're having a good day or a bad day, because I remember when I was drinking, I could drink on a good day or a bad day. So, I have to do these few little things. You know, and Lynn's the one that's taught me all this, and Peggy, who taught her and I this stuff, you know, and Marilyn, who passed it down to Peggy and then to Lynn and I. Except the only one that really liked the whole idea of Marilyn's thing of writing would be Peggy. You know, I know that Marilyn's one of those people that says, you call her for the problem, and she goes, write about it, call me, back, click. And I'm just learning the power in writing. Lynn gave me something to do recently because of what's been going on and what I've been, my head's been going crazy. And it's amazing when I finally did it for the first time in all these years, like did it immediately, and the results, I got immediate results. I woke up the next day feeling free again. I didn't feel like I was in the clutches of disease anymore and spiritually bankrupt anymore. And she came over and we went over it and I gave it to God. It was done, you know, and then, you know, a new issue comes. But, you know, I at least got that one out of the way, and that was a big one because that was going to make me drink. And I wasn't willing. And people talk about, you know, we grow at the rate of pain. For 7 years, no, I wasn't. I was just in pain. And until recently when I finally took suggestion and did it immediately, I didn't balk at it, and I absolutely did not procrastinate on it. I just did it. And that's because of you guys and Alcoholics Anonymous and me watching you do it. And me being that little duckling, following the herd for the most part, you know. And then rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. I'm going to follow the path of people like my father-in-law and my dad and Selena and Billy and people with time and Joanne, who I love, you know, and Patrick back there, and people with time and Darren, and, you know, like, I want what they have. I may not want everything they have, but there's little pieces of stuff that they have that inspire me to do better, that I want to have just like them. And so I need to do the footwork. And that I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I can't sugarcoat stuff. I can't cookie cutter stuff. It has to be done the way that, and followed the way that somebody else did it. I can't mix these steps up. I can't just do one and then five and then 12 and that's it. I have to do them in order, you know. I have to do absolutely everything in order. There's an order for everything. And And I, as long as I follow them, I'll be okay. No matter what. Because there's some people that don't believe in God. I get that now. You know what I mean? I do. But, it's laid out that way for a reason. So as long as you do it that way, I think you're, I'm assuming you'd be okay. I mean, because there's some people with time that don't have any relationship with a higher power of any sort. So, I don't know. I'm grateful for that, you know. And I'm grateful, I'm so grateful for the newcomer. Because I don't ever want to be where they're at. That's what the newcomer, for me, why it's so important to see a newcomer, and that's honestly the reason why I need to come to meetings, because I can call any of you guys anytime and sit down and talk with you, but for me to go to a meeting and hear somebody all jacked up and, like, no offense, is good. Doesn't mean you're always going to be that way, but it's good, because then it reminds me, because I forget, it reminds me that I don't want to be there again. So... That's what it does. That's what the newcomer does. And you know, then pet people with time, I'm most grateful for too, because when I start to feel like that, restless, irritable, and discontent feeling, I call somebody that knows or has been through it. And I love Lynn. What Lynn does with me is if she doesn't have an answer, she doesn't know or have any experience in it, she'll send me to somebody else. I don't know a lot of people that do that. So I try to live by her example with my sponsees. If I'm not sure about somebody with certain things, I'm going to guide them maybe to somebody that would. And I appreciate that. You know, she's saying she's not a know-it-all. I bet you at one time she thought she was. You know, because I did. I knew everything. A few people in my house still feel that way too. But, you know, I don't have the answers. I haven't been through some stuff, so how can I tell you or give you any suggestions on how to live by them or to do something, you know? And I see it all the time, and it frustrates me, and I'm like, you have no kids. How are you telling me to raise my child? Like, really? You know, just stupid little things like that, or even about recovery or whatever. It's just, there's a wrench for every nut. And there is, I swear to God. And I don't really care if you like me or if I'm boring or whatever. There's another person that likes me and thinks I'm great. I'm such a babbler tonight, you guys. I'm so sorry. But anyway, Selena told me I have 2 minutes, so now I probably have about 1 minute and 10 seconds, and I'm really grateful for that. And, you know, on the 7th of June, I'll be at the 1600 Club speaking at 7 on Sunday. I'll probably have it together a little more by then, probably a little more sleep, too, and not so stressed out. But I love my family today, even when they piss me off. And I'm willing to change. Like, my family is my biggest thing, so no offense. I mean, it's not that I don't like you guys. I love my family. My family is number one to me, period. And that, I think, is God's will for me. God's will is to never see me hurt, to do the right thing, live by His examples of righteousness and whatnot. And just to be genuinely a good person all the time, no matter what. No matter what my feelings are. And Alcoholics Anonymous taught me that. The people in Alcoholics Anonymous taught me that. That no matter what, I have to push everything that I'm feeling aside to help another alcoholic, period. And I'm grateful to that because I don't just do it in AA, so I do it with the outside world too. Because this is not my life. I don't live in this room. And I don't live, except with him, in my house 24 hours a day. So I have to be able to take what I learn here, the little spiritual toolkit and my other little tools, take it out there and deal with a bunch of people that have no program or can't admit anything that's going on in life. So I have to Lynn told me I have this, what is it, pen and tongue. Pen and tongue. Shut my mouth. And I'm learning that. Because it's hard. It's so hard for me to shut up. But, I don't know. Thank you, Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank you, just thank you, you know. I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful for the life I have today. And I'm not willing to lose it for anything. Anything. And if something's in my life that's trying to tear it apart, they're gone. I don't care who they are or what it is. It's outie. And Felicia, I got it. All right, I'm done.
Thank you again, Ms. Amber and Ms. Selena.